Greetings. I am Zach, employee of Anime News Network and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Lindsay, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to us the day we held aloft our magic swords and sang... Everybody, welcome to AnCast. I'm Zach Birchie. Lindsay Loveridge is here.
Hey, everybody.
Well, you're not here physically.
That's normal.
Is normal. However, this show has always been produced with safe social distancing in place.
Yeah.
How are you holding up, buddy?
Let's see. The weather has finally took a positive turn up here in the Pacific Northwest. So now I can lay in my backyard a little bit if I want to get some vitamin D.
I'll trade you, man. It's been raining nonstop here.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's just like, why the fuck did I move to Los Angeles for this? It is nonstop rain pretty much all the time. I miss my cats are like, where is the sun?
You guys are like staring lonesomely out the window as the rain comes down on the pane. Just
where is the sun? they just sort of lay in my bed all day now.
Yeah,
because, you know, cats are like powered by the sun.
Yes. So. Yeah, that's why, you know, they get in a sunlight square coming in through a window or a glass door or something. They get all energized, wiggle around on their backs for a while, and then they, you know, zoom down the hallway.
Yeah. Yeah. And is quarantine life treating you all right?
Let's see. My oldest is just not going back to school until September.
No.
So I've got to keep him like...
extra long.
Turning into a lump, like, on the couch somehow, extra, on top of everything else.
It's like extra long summer break, except you're trapped indoors the entire time.
It's awful. And then my youngest is just like a bundle of energy, so it's just like...
From what I understand, though, like, you live in the Pacific Northwest, and they've largely done a pretty good job keeping it under control. Like,
I've heard that Washington State has flattened the curve. We've done a pretty good job, but things are still foreseeably closed until, like, early May.
Right.
So...
No, it's just to be safe. You know, you don't want a resurgence.
Nope, don't. Nope. Like, don't want to ever do this again in my lifetime, if humanly possible.
Yeah. Stupid. It's not stupid. It's just horrible. Like, California's doing a pretty good job, too. Like, the things are locked the fuck down here.
Yeah.
Like, you will get pulled over if they suspect that you're out for non-essential reasons.
No joyrides.
Yeah. Like, thankfully, I live, like, a block from a supermarket. So, and the supermarket's actually pretty well stocked.
Yeah.
So, like, and that's because they're doing careful rationing. It's, like, two per item. That's it. Like, you can buy all the produce you want, but two per item. That's
Do you have like the outdoor line at the grocery store?
I figured out the right time to go where that's not the case. Yeah. If you get there when they open, yes. If you go there like an hour before they close, yeah, there's a line.
Yeah.
But since I work from home, like everyone does, I suppose, I do have the luxury of going in the middle of the day and like there's no line. So it's fine. I just wish people here would actually keep 6 feet away. Like,
you know who's doing a really, really good job? My local pot store.
They
have markers on the pavement for where you stand. Only one person per employee at a time. They wipe down the ATMs after every use because it's a cash only business.
Right.
And you know, you're in and you're out. And they also take your ID, scan it, wipe it down, like disinfect. They disinfected my driver's license and then handed it back to me as well.
Yeah, when I only use delivery for that.
Yeah.
And I always use gloves and like hold it in a wipe when I hand it to them.
Yeah.
I don't want them to feel like, I'm going to get sick. You know,
right.
I'm trying to make them comfortable. So it's a little like that. Anyway,
we don't have the delivery service here, but
not yet.
We should get that. Not yet.
Yeah, it'll happen. So this week we are talking about there is a new season of anime. It is the spring 2020 season of anime. Another like 30 shows.
Something like that. Yeah.
I am not through all the premieres yet, but we'll get to that a little little bit later. But up top here, since we're all quarantined, I asked you to watch a very important animated film titled Space Jam from 1996.
Yeah.
Now, when was the last time you watched Space Jam?
It might have been, I'm sure I had it on home video as a kid, but so I did it probably see this film in theaters.
Probably was the 90s.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't watched it since the 90s for sure.
Yeah. This came out in 1996. It was sort of it has a strange production history. One of the weirdest vanity projects I've ever seen. Like, yeah. Very weird. And it is a total vanity project for Michael. Right. For basketball superstar Michael Jordan, as everyone knows. What was your opinion of this film before watching it again?
So I had fond memories of it because I know I watched it a lot as a kid. Like, it was something that I would put on, you know, just because I wanted to watch it. I thought it was good. Child Lindsay's questionable taste, I guess. But I thought it was a good film at the time. And I had the video game. I have distinct memories of playing the Space Jam video game.
Right, which was just NBA Jam with Looney Tunes characters.
Yes.
It was on like the PlayStation 1 and like the Sega, yeah. I think the Sega Saturn or something like that.
Yeah. It was an awful game, but I have memories playing that. And I mean, Michael Jordan was this shit when I was a kid.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone knew who, even if you didn't like sports or watch sports, you know, everyone, you knew who Michael Jordan was. Everyone in your class knew who Michael Jordan was. He was the best basketball player ever.
Right.
So,
right.
You know.
Exactly. And so this is a film in which, and I am not going to
sure
be,
is.
I'm not going to be so cruel as to ask you to recap Space Jam.
Please don't. The plot makes no fucking sense.
No, it doesn't make any fucking sense. So there's a planet of malicious aliens called the, Jesus Christ, what were they called?
The
Monstars. The Monstars. And so. Starring lead villain Danny DeVito, and they run a theme park in outer space on a distant planet, and they want to enslave the Looney Tunes as theme park attractions.
Yes.
And so then basketball superstar Michael Jordan gets sucked through like a wormhole into the Looney Tunes universe, and they sort of enlist him to help them win a basketball game against the Monstars. Jesus. Just describing
their freedom.
Just describing the fucking plot of this is like, what? which is, I think, so like upon revisiting this, I was like, I was kind of refreshed by how fucking weird it was. It reminded me of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah, it's just unapologetically weird.
Yeah, well, it's the thing is, it doesn't feel like it's trying to be weird. It feels like it's trying to impress you the whole time.
Yeah, and but it's like, all cartoon logic.
It's very strange cartoon logic. The animation is all very like shiny, glossy, like serial cartoon animation.
Yeah,
you know, like and the
Captain
shiny,
Crunch.
Yeah, the like a Captain Crunch or like a Lucky Charms cartoon cartoon commercial. And the shininess is actually a thing, which I'm sure you noticed, like the weird light sourcing and stuff.
Yeah.
That was a thing also in the absolute classic Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which this is clearly pulling from.
Now that
quite
I think
a lot.
About both of them next to each other. Yeah. But they did some spectacular things with Roger Rabbit for the for the lighting.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was like a movie that like defined my fucking childhood. Like that was like, it's like that one, Labyrinth, The Princess Bride, and Little Shop of Horrors like defined my fucking childhood.
Yeah.
So like, that's on another plane from this one. But this one is like, watching it now is just so weird because for some reason Bill Murray is there. For some reason Wayne Knight is there. There's that really weird scene where they reinflate Wayne Knight and it's like the worst CG in the world.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Anyway, so obviously they defeat the Monstars and Michael Jordan saves the day. Like the chief observation I took away from this is that like at no point is Michael Jordan ever not the hero or the butt of a joke.
Yeah.
Everyone is constantly talking about how great he is.
Yes.
It's just really, it's like, oh, this is just a total vanity. This is like a total vanity project, which I guess if you're the biggest sports star in the world at the time, sure. But what a weird thing to be like, yeah, what if I make a movie where I'm in the Looney Tunes world? What?
Yeah, the closest thing we ever get to like, quote unquote mocking Michael Jordan is he gets turned into a CG basketball at one point and like bounced around. But that's the only like joke where like physical comedy style joke that's where he's doing something funny.
That's not at his expense, though. Like, right. He is never, ever the butt of the joke.
Right, right.
Which is like, I know what was happening in that writer's room. But, like, if you're bored and sitting at home and it's like, hey, it's, you know, because that movie has become a little bit of a, it's a little meme-y, you know, like, people meme that sometimes. I think it's worth going back and just seeing, like, wow, they used to make shit like this.
Yeah.
And they're making Space Jam 2 with LeBron. Like, I think it's I'm sure the production's been delayed, but it'll probably come out in the next couple of years. I'm wondering how different that will be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely some 90s things in this film that we would.
Oh, some 90s, some now. 90s things.
Some 90s things.
Well, like the Quad City DJs.
Cartoon gun violence, which will never, ever happen again.
Oh, yeah. There is weird cartoon gun violence.
Yeah, constantly, actually. Someone shoots a hole through Sylvester at one point, and, like, you can see through it. And, like, watching it now, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, that used to be, like, a standard cartoon comedy shtick when I watched cartoons as a kid that just, like, you can't do now.
Yeah, and, you can't do that shit anymore.
Yeah, there's also a Blues Brothers reference, I think, right?
That's a Pulp Fiction reference.
Oh, was it a Pulp Fiction reference? Okay.
Yeah, weird thing to reference in a kids movie, but
yeah.
it's a strange fucking thing. It's a strange thing, and I'm glad you took the time out of your busy day to
watch it. I think my favorite bit of it is maybe the side plot of all the other basketball players losing their powers and becoming like unable to catch balls and stuff anymore.
Yeah,
that's sort of like ambling through New York and stuff, just completely confounded by the concept of basketball.
Yeah, and you have like Barkley and all of them, and they're all big good sports, like so to speak. They're all playing along, and that stuff is actually it's pretty good. It's like wow, this is fun.
I like when Barkley gets dunked on by the girls team and they're just like, you're not Charles Barkley, get out of here, you imitator, be gone. And like he's like shamed off the court by a bunch of children. It's
yeah, well, Barkley's always had a good sense of humor about himself. He's not above that kind of joke. And it's fun to watch. But do I like Space Jam? It's a fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird, especially because I felt like Michael Jordan was like okay on screen when he was interacting with humans. But as soon as he's like in cartoon world and he's supposed to be playing off the animated characters that obviously aren't there while he's giving his lines, like it just tanks.
Well, he's not an actor.
No, he's not. No.
And most of the people who are cast in the movie are his friends.
Yes,
like in real life, like he was buddies with Bill Murray. So it's inexplicably in there. also, the other thing I did want to mention briefly is the weird, horny animation for the girl Bugs Bunny.
Yes. Yeah. Lola Bunny.
Deesh. All right. Animators, settle down.
Yeah. Seriously. Like she's got three lines in the film at all. And like every time she's on screen, like she's got her like hip cocked out, so like and like this weird like sultry walk all the time. Yeah. Like this is a rabbit and we're still in a kid's cartoon. Okay,
like it's like those like if you remember Animaniacs, the like Minerva Mink shorts where it was clearly like horny animators blowing off steam.
Yeah it was Minerva Mink, and you know, I guess the nurse was always more of a joke in Animaniacs, but it was still just like
still kind of anyway, what's in the news, buddy?
Oh, the news sucks.
Oh, doesn't it?
As we all know, I'm going to try and condense the suckitude into just sort of a short rundown. Obviously, industry is starting to really feel the crunch of the coronavirus right now, and it's led to the cancellation of next week, the April 20th issue of... I don't know what time or day it is. The April 20th issue of Weekly Shonen Jump. They're going to condense that into a double issue, which they do sometimes anyway. But that's been pushed back a week. And they've also delayed a bunch of their manga releases, including their really popular titles like Demon Slayer, and Haikyuu. And this is extended over onto the American side of things as well. Like Tokyo Pop, Kodansha, Yen Press, Seven Seas are all pushing back their releases for months, weeks, months, some even into September. Right. So, yeah.
Well, you got to do it.
Yeah, there's really no way around it. It's just sort of the state of things. A lot of events are still being canceled, to be expected. The biggest one would be Annecy, which is the oldest and largest animation festival that's in France every year. So that won't be happening, but they are planning an online counterpart to it. They haven't announced the online programming yet, but hopefully there'll still be maybe something. Like you could stream their selection of films from on your computer or something like that. That would be really cool. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. E3 is not, we already knew E3 is not happening, but they were considering an online component, but they've since said that's not going to be possible. And then the last bit is that Japan finally declared a state of emergency, the prime minister did, for 7 prefectures, not for the entire country, for whatever reason. And one of those includes Tokyo. And I think it was a good move. Polygon Pictures, all their employees are going to work from home now with varying levels of success. They said that the kind of data that they work with, that's going to really affect how productive their employees can be from home based on their internet speeds. And Square Enix is also moving their employees to just work from home. But for that, it took someone to actually be diagnosed. So,
uh-oh.
So that's just kind of where things are at.
Well, the good news on that front is that all of those measures work.
Yes.
Like, you know, enforcing that stuff works. Keeping people distant and saying, like, you know, don't go out and don't go to the store unless you really need essentials is working.
Right.
And it's proven to be working here. It's proven to really be working in New Zealand and like in other places like that. So, you know, as sad as it is to see all this stuff canceled, the only thing that kind of hangs out in the back of my mind is kind of watching this stuff and then realizing that like a lot of these events and stuff really operate on what is sort of what's the word I'm looking for here? As an analogy, they're living check to check, just like a lot of folks are.
Yeah.
So they need the revenue from this year to put on a show next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting a little dicey out there for a lot. That's the only thing is that I hope this doesn't destroy a lot of these events or put them out of business forever. You know, and the same goes for any small business or any nonprofit or anything like that. That's the only thing that kind of hangs out in the back of my mind. Otherwise, it's like, you got to stay home. Sorry. Yeah.
People's health is more important.
Well, Well, your health is important. Everyone else's health is more important. And this thing spreads so fast that it's like, you don't have a choice, really.
Right.
You need to stay home as much as you possibly can. Like, everyone's got to go to the store, but you can't have your film festival. Sorry. it's a shame, but it's necessary. If we want this to be over fast, which it won't be, but if we want it to be over faster than it would otherwise be, gotta follow the rules. So all right, what a shame. Hey, the news that I was gonna bring up was, did you watch the live action Azuken footage?
Oh right, yeah, I've been keeping an eye on that ever since the cast list was announced because I had concerns.
Boo. I did not like it.
Yeah.
What they showed? No. Uh-uh. Why would you even make this? Like, I'm not outraged or anything, but like, geez, super flat idol performances. Yeah. Like, those idol girls are just like, that's not Kanemori. What's wrong with you? You're not even trying. No. And they're all just way too pretty. They're too pretty.
That was my thing when they said they were getting idols to do it. I'm like, no, these girls are like cool and awkward.
They're
kind of girls you run into at the library or, you know, like might have been in my friend group at the time. You know, it's not like they have to be like, I don't even know how to say it really, but it's like they can't be too shiny.
Yeah, too shiny. That's a good way to put it. And like they're art gremlins. And sure, one of them is an idol face. But in Yuasa's version, he managed to figure out a way to interpret that visually to where she's not like, you know, she's not too pretty. It's
yeah.
It's blah, no. I don't want it. I don't want it. And the visual design is like really uninspired. It just looks like a crappy TV show, like with a CG budget. And it's just like, bleh. Like
it seemed like they were just trying to take how Yuasa translated it to animation and then translate that to live action as opposed to.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're using the manga as a storyboard, basically. Mm-hmm. And Yuasa has a particular gift at when you have someone like him adapting something, he's going to make it his own while honoring the original rather than just taking the original and saying, okay, here's our storyboard. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what this sort of felt like with some like sort of junky Marvel movie CG in it. So no, thank you. No, thank you. If somebody actually releases it here, I probably won't be able to stay away from watching it. But
but you'll sit in the back and yell things.
Frowny face.
Like rocking back and
whatever.
Forth.
You can't take the original away. So it don't matter. It doesn't really matter. It's just I watched it and was like, no.
No.
Anyway, anything else in the news?
No.
No. All right.
No, not really.
Well, then it's time to talk about the spring 2020 anime season.
Yeah.
You and I got to a few premieres. It's been sort of a weirdly busy time. So I only got to about like 8 or 9 shows and you got to a few more. Okay, so we'll run through the shows that we saw and probably try to get to some more for next week's episode. We're kind of splitting this up a little bit. So let's start with stuff that you saw that I didn't see. So you watched Tower of God. Tell me about Tower of God.
So Tower of God is Crunchyroll's new co-pro, and they're doing a couple of these based off of Korean webcomics on a service called Webtoons. And this one it looks really nice. Plot is pretty bare bones, sort of generic fantasy series. You've got a main character, his name's Bam, no relation to the Flintstones.
Or Bam Margera.
Or Bam Margera. No, he's got a best friend named Rachel. Maybe he's in love with her, I think. And there's a tower. And the only way you can escape the darkness of the world they live in is to ascend the tower and get like a wish granted. And Rachel decides to do that. And Bam decides to go after her. And in doing so, he meets a weird rabbit thing that's like the lord or guide of the tower. And he'll have to complete certain trials to go up additional levels in pursuit of Rachel. The first one is he faces off this sort of, I think it's called like a steel eel or something like that. It's sort of like a dragon more than any kind of fish.
It sounds a lot like Sword Art Online to me.
Yeah, the initial season had that same sort of thing about climbing multiple levels up a tower to get to the top. So he's gonna fight this eel. He doesn't have a weapon, but Bam seems kind of determined, or lack of self-preservation, I'm not really sure which it is. Before he goes to fight it, Princess Yuri, who she's the princess of some kingdom, and it's not really clear where the kingdom is, and she's got a bodyguard with her. She's like, all right, well, you can use my sword. And it's called like the Black March. And he's able to use it like immediately, even though it's supposed to be impossible to wield it or something like that. And kills the eel and gets the object that's in there that the bunny guy wanted. And he'll get to continue up the castle. That's pretty much it.
I will fully admit that while you were describing the plot of that, my attention just drifted away.
Yeah, did you start, like, organizing your socks?
I was, like, thinking about what I was going to order for lunch. Did you like it?
I liked the art. I'm not really sold on the premise. I'll probably give it, like, one more episode, but, like, there's no real characterization to start you off on, like, why you should care about these characters or what makes them interesting. It's just, like, here's a dude. He wants to find his girlfriend, and he's on a quest, like, now.
Okie doke.
And you're like, all right, well, I mean...
Sounds like something.
This is for somebody.
It sounds like something I ain't gonna watch.
But not really for me.
The other one you caught that I did not was, what is it, Diary of Our Days Gone By? What is it called?
Sounds like a soap opera. Diary of Our Days at the Breakwater.
Okay, so this is cute girls doing cute things, right?
Yeah, and the cute thing happens to be fishing.
Is there anything else to say about that?
No.
So it's a lot of
got our main girl Hina. She moves to a rural area and starts going to Umino High School. And she encounters a somewhat intimidating girl who likes to fish. And that intimidating girl is a member of the Breakwater Club at the high school. And she wants Hina to join. But Hina just wants to join the Handicraft Club because she likes to make crafts and like felt animals and stuff. And also fish gross her out.
Well, what a fascinating character turn.
Yeah. It looks really nice. Like, it's animated really nicely. It's very pretty. Like, it's not ugly at any point. But it's just girls fishing. So
cute girls doing fish things.
Yep. You want to see like highly detailed animation of a fishing reel just like spooling up the line? That's in there. But
sounds like
otherwise
not for me.
Yeah, I'm doing enough fishing in Animal Crossing. I don't need to watch it on TV.
Yeah, I was about to say the other description of that is Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Just caught my first snapping turtle last night. I have now caught all the fish for the month. Yay, Lindsay.
I didn't even know there was like a monthly fish thing.
New fish become available. I think new fish become available each month.
You know, I am just insanely excited that Final Fantasy VII unlocks in like, I don't know, a few hours from now.
Is it just a few hours? Yeah. Is it like midnight tonight?
Well, it's midnight tonight is 9 p.m. our time. I will finally be free of the Animal Tours game.
Yeah.
Because the Animal Tours game is like, I'll boot it up in the mornings. And it's like, oh, the store's closed. I'm like, why does it have hours? Why does it even have hours?
You can sell stuff 24/7. You just can't buy
get the money
until 8 a.m.
You don't get the money till the next day.
That's true. If you sell it through the box, you got to wait.
And then, like, I finally laid it down. This is a total rabbit hole here, but, like,
it's fine.
I finally laid down the plots for, like, the first three houses.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you need 50 billion things you don't have. And I'm like, ugh.
It's to make you craft.
I know, but it's just, it's not that I don't enjoy the game. It's just like, ugh.
I think if you don't like crafting and you don't like the chores, then you're not enjoying the game.
I'm still playing it. So yeah. There's that. So like, it is a little addicting, but I just wish it moved along faster.
Yeah.
And yeah, I time skipped for like a day ahead or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to probably just have to start time skipping more just to like
skip
speed,
past Easter
speed this shit up. Oh, the fucking eggs. I hate the fucking eggs. I just leave them. I leave them there. They just sit on the ground. It's like everything you can make with them is tacky as fuck.
Yeah.
I don't want them. They're not worth very much money. And they're taking the place of other resources. God damn it.
I'm so mad because all the balloons I get are for the fucking Easter recipes, and they're supposed to be like Sakura recipes right now, and I want to make cherry blossom shit.
Well,
other
I made that
are getting
stuff.
To make that, and it looks cute.
Yeah, it's
and
cute. It's good.
I can't because I just keep getting fucking balloons for Easter. All right.
Well, you just got to ignore the Easter balloons.
Yeah. Well,
it's like if it's multicolored, ignore it. If it's gold,
I know
you get
I do,
that one.
But like I'm not getting any others to shoot down.
Yeah, you only get like one or two gold balloons every now and then. Like it's not a common thing. Anyway, we should stop talking about Animal Crossing. The other thing you watched that I did not watch is I have no idea how to fucking pronounce this. Gleipnir?
I don't actually know either. The word is Nordic, which I only found out thanks to one of our reviewers and preview guide.
Well, so it ends in N-I-R, so that's not really a mystery to figure out.
No, it's the first syllable that's just a mystery, like bleep, glep.
Whatever
Blake.
It is. Anyway,
whatever.
What is
whatever.
This?
It's not even important. I don't even think the word shows up in the first episode. This is a show about a kid named Shuichi. He's in high school, his last year of high school, and he's sort of meandering through life. He has more potential than he lets on, but he wants to just stick with his friend group. He doesn't want to stand out in any kind of way, so he sort of masks that and has adopted this sort of lackadaisical attitude. He ends up encountering a girl named Claire when he goes to rescue her from a fire. So like this building in the woods catches on fire and she's in there. Also, for some reason, he transforms, like he's not putting on like a suit, like he transforms into what looks like a mascot character. And he doesn't know why. It's just started happening to him all of a sudden. And his sense of smell is much more adept. And there's some sort of weird conspiracy going on with like a coin, and other people are actually also turning into these animals. And also Claire is like kind of evil, maybe manipulative of Shuichi. It's a really fucking weird show. It's really weird.
Isn't it based on like a game or something like that?
It's based on a manga.
On a manga. Okay.
On a manga. Yeah. But it's really strange.
So like thumbs up or down, would you watch this?
I would watch it. It's got what I think is like a psychosexual angle to it that makes it interesting to me. Like, this really feels like some sort of weird take on like adolescence and puberty or something, you know, the physical changes. And then there's another part where he gets like the urge to take off her underwear at one point, and then is like shocked by his own deviancy. And like later he does go into her locker and like smell her underwear, and he's like ashamed of him. It gave me some Flowers of Evil vibes.
And you're like, to be honest, appointment viewing.
There's underwear sniffing in this. I've got an appointment. Yeah. It's really, yeah, it's very, very weird. I don't know if it's going into like a battle shonen angle, like if there's just going to be giant mascot character kids like fighting each other or something, or if it's going to focus more on like his shame and physical changes and internal struggles. I don't know. So I will probably watch more of it.
Okay. Let's see. So we both watched. Okay. Now, I am not clear on exactly how to pronounce this.
Okay.
I want to just say it's called Art,
mm-hmm.
but it might be Arte.
Yeah.
The only thing is, in English, the A-R-T-E typically has an accent over the E because it's a French term, mm-hmm. but you still say art.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the French term objet d'art. Like, you right. say art, you don't say objet d'arte, you say objet d'art.
Yeah, unless you want to be pretentious.
Maybe. Well, no, but that's an incorrect pronunciation.
Right, like, people who are pretentious are going to pronounce it incorrectly.
I don't think so. No. People who are pretentious are like me, who will say like, actually, it's objet d'arte.
Oh.
Objet d'arte, you know. Yeah. This is based on a manga. And it's by the people who made this were 7ARCS, who they've done stuff like, you know, Trinity 7, Inukami. Animation is pretty good. It's mm-hmm. about a really determined girl who comes from nobility, but their family has no money. And her mom, like her dad's dead, and he encouraged her to be an artist. And her mom is an evil bitch who like burns all of her drawings and is like, you can't be an artist. You need to marry a rich guy. So, it's a little Titanic, Downton Abbey kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So she takes her drawings into where, you know, this all takes place in Renaissance, the Renaissance art period. And so she takes her art into the art district and tries to get a job as an apprentice. Everyone's like, you're a girl. You can't be an artist. And, of course, runs into soft-spoken, kind of grumpy, withdrawn guy who's, yep. like, sees himself in her and takes her on as an artist. And mostly you spend the time seeing, like, how hardworking she is and how badly she wants to draw. And you learn a little bit about Renaissance art techniques and exactly how they made paintings and stuff back, the paintings and sculpture back then. This is pretty much up my alley. Like,
yeah.
I like stuff about art and art history. And this one seems, I enjoyed it. I think actually this is the premiere that to me has the most promise, like at least in just being a relaxing thing to watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
It
ticks all my boxes. It's, you know, a strong female lead, period piece, nice costumes.
Yeah. They're really fond of the like ruffly sort of low cut dress thing.
Yeah.
So there's like a touch of fan service in there, but it really doesn't overwhelm the show at all. And this is directed by some folks. It's Takayuki Hamana, who he's done like the Appleseed 13 movie. He did like those Nanoha movies. Adapted by Reiko Yoshida, who has like the longest list of adaptation credits you'll ever see in your life.
Okay.
In other words, I wouldn't look too hard for like creative touches from the staff, like thumbprints. I wouldn't look, ironically, I wouldn't look too hard for like thumbprints where it's like, oh, this guy directed this and this is how he does it. It is well directed. I thought it looked good. The animation is nice. And it is, so this is apparently the only manga this guy's ever written, or this, I don't actually know their gender, they've ever written. Okubo. I it's the only thing they've ever made. So, yeah, I don't know. I enjoy, it was sweet. It reminded me of like a really kind of, you know, sort of binge watchy kind of period piece that doesn't waste your time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I liked it. Are you going to keep up with that one?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely keep watching this one. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Next one up was Gallen Dino. This is the folks behind Pop Team Epic, based on a manga. I was kind of let down by this one. Gal, you know, fashionable gal, wakes up and is like, oh, I came home with a dinosaur. How wacky.
Yeah.
And the dinosaur's cute. And I really like the mixed animation technique that they've used on everything. And it does the same thing Pop Team Epic does, where the first half of the episode is the episode. And then the second half of the episode, this time, though, it's live action. And the gal is played by an aging Japanese man.
Yeah, but like the room is exactly the same.
Yeah, but it's exactly the same.
He's got leopard print pillows and all of that.
Yeah, and he's using like the zebra print mirror to brush his hair and stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's so much more of a kid's show than I thought it was, like so much more of a kid's show than Pop Team Epic was. And the humor was really like, oh, it's cute. You know, the little... Yeah. The little stop motion clay kitties were cute, and it's just, it's cute. It's not like funny, and that's not what I'm after. So, good enough. I hope it kind of gets voted into the poll so that I can kind of keep up with the reviews and see if it winds up being worth my time. Yeah. But it doesn't really seem to have caught on anyone's radar.
No, like, it's just, I think the opening sequence is one of the best ones.
Yeah, good opening.
Yeah, it's got a really good OP. It's really stylish, very poppy, that sort of like 90s cheap look sort of aesthetic, if that makes sense. I really enjoyed the whole opening sequence, and I liked the little claymation bits. I liked the gag about Dino Tube, where like it did catch me off guard once when it's quote unquote like loading the next video in the playlist.
Right.
And I was like, I'm so used to being terrorized by that on YouTube that like I take my mouse and try to go to the cancel autoplay cancel switch.
Right.
I'm like, wait, no, this is just a bit.
Yeah. Well, everything and it's just a bit. But yeah, it's I'll see what people say. Hopefully somebody will say something and is keeping up with it, but it didn't catch me right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Then there's what is it? My Next Life as a Villainess, All Roots Lead to Doom.
Yeah.
What's this one about?
Okay, so this one is about a girl named Katarina. She's from a noble family and she's a giant brat, and she takes a fall and then realizes that she's actually reincarnated from a girl who died in Tokyo. She was like hit by a truck, who played a Tome game that had the exact same plot. So basically she knows all future events because her life now is a mirror of this Otome game called Fortune Lover. And she also realizes that she is the villain. And her only two routes in the game either lead her to being destitute and exiled or dead. And so she's like, I have to stop, you know, I have to stop this and change how things go because I don't want to end up destitute or dead. So she basically does a 180 with her personality now that she's awakened and starts trying to cultivate other skills. And like gardening and magic and stuff like that to keep the male like love interest options from leading to her doom. It's pretty funny. I'll probably keep watching it. It's just sort of subverting some of the isekai and also otome game tropes. And it's mostly focused more on comedy than I think genuine like romance. So, and I felt like it succeeded on that part.
Yeah, I didn't really like a cute premise. You know, it's based on a, like I said, it's based on a light novel series. The first episode I thought looked pretty good, and that it's directed by I think this is his first like series director credit, Keisuke Inoue, and he actually did the final episode of Eizouken. He directed.
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So. That, you know, obviously talented visual director. It seemed fine to me. I didn't really, I was like, all right, okay, cute premise. what else? What else you got? Like, yeah. it didn't leave a big impression on me, but people do seem to like it quite a lot. So, you know, it'll probably get voted into the poll. We'll wind up probably covering it. I know it was something people were really looking forward to just because, like I said, it really, that is a catchy hook. That's a good premise for a light novel show. And the main character seems likable and there's some pretty funny jokes and sure, what else could you want? You know, but I don't know. I was just kind of like, all right, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for the more aged up portion. I don't know if most of the show is going to be like her as a younger child.
No,
with
it
all
won't
the
be.
Other characters, I'd like the aged up version because supposedly the guy she's engaged to is supposed to end up actually being like a horrible, like domineering sadist or masochist or something like that. Right now, like I feel like I can see that in the tiny kid version, like just a little bit, like he smiles a little too often and a little too like agreeable. But you kind of get the feeling he's condescending the whole time.
Mm.
So I'm kind of waiting for that switch over. But yeah, I'll probably keep up with it just because it seems like a fun diversion, but not expecting any like big emotional stakes or anything like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Next up, Kakushigoto.
Right, so this is made by the same guy who did Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei.
Yeah, Koji Kumeda. He is a very popular manga and a popular anime.
Yeah, this time around, the humor feels a little different. A
little bit.
It's a little bit more wholesome, even though the premise is going to sound a little less wholesome. But the main character's name is Kakushi Goto. That's his name. But when you combine it, it's a pun for like secret and also for like work.
Yeah, there's a ton of wordplay, but there was a ton of wordplay in Zetsubou Sensei as well. So,
there's a lot of on-screen stuff I think going on with Zetsubou Sensei too, where like blink and you miss it.
Yeah,
a lot of the jokes.
A lot of that.
Yeah. In this one, Kakushi, he is a manga artist, but specifically he does like seinen. Like he does titty.
He does edgy stuff. Etchy.
Yeah, he does etchy stuff. But he's also a new dad, and he doesn't want his daughter to discover his line of work in fear that she'll reject him or be mortified by him or something like that.
Or made impure somehow or something like that.
Yeah, he wants to, you know, protect her purity or whatever. So most of the show is about the extreme lengths that he goes to keep his daughter from discovering what his real job is. And at this point, she's like elementary school age, and she's got a couple of friends, and in the first episode they go off as friends do and form a detective agency. Did you ever do this, go through a detective phase or anything like that?
You know full well I did not.
Okay, you did not?
No,
you did not. Okay, well I saw Harriet the Spy as a kid, and so there was at least one week where I stared out my front window and took notes in a notebook about absolutely nothing but thought I was being a spy.
Here's my shocked face.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I've heard that that's not uncommon, and I was
no, it's not. It's not uncommon. It's just that's not the type of person I am.
I know. Okay. Okay.
I'm not a fucking cop, Lindsay.
I'm not a cop, Zach. I just really wanted to know what my neighbor across the street was doing in their yard. That's all.
You ever see that movie Rear Window?
Hey, yes, and I've also seen the remake, Shia LaBeouf.
Anyway,
so Hime, that's the daughter, and her friends form a detective agency for an episode to try and discover like who saved a cat, and it ends up being Hime's dad, but he's trying to avoid them the whole time because he doesn't want them to follow him because then they'll discover where he works. And they end up in a Starbucks, which they think is like a witch's lair because all the really complicated coffee orders sound like spells. Anyway, it's pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny. It's beautiful to look at. Like, it's animated to hell.
And yeah, looks great.
I don't know, but like, I'm still kind of iffy on whether it'll be able to keep using its premise to generate comedy. Like, it's kind of thin. I don't know how they're going to stretch that out.
That was the thing that got to me. It was like, oh, there's one joke.
Yeah.
There's one joke, but then it turns out that this has like 10 volumes or something, and they keep introducing new characters and everything. So okay. I would imagine the mangaka figured out how to stretch the premise.
Yeah.
But if it's still just the one joke, although at the end of the first episode, it feels like they're already moving it along. So it's kind of like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll keep watching.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Listeners.
Right, this is the one by the Erica Seven Guy.
Yeah. Hiroaki Ando. And written by Dai Sato, who you may know from such films as Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, and the live-action Kishern, and like he did episodes of Cowboy Bebop, Space Dandy, and he's a name. People know him. Animation by Studio MAPPA. Directed by Hiroaki Ando, like he did a Jin, some of those Godzilla movies, a lot of 3D stuff. So like Sidonia, you know, that, remember that that old OVA, Freedom. That one. This is about a post-apocalyptic future with a kid who is digging through trash in what is clearly a much larger world, where his like province or county or whatever is the one that digs through trash to get parts for robots that fight the earless, which are these sort of scribble creatures that show up, and he finds a girl in the garbage.
Someone
threw away a perfectly good girl. And what do you know, they get a robot and start fighting the earless. Pretty simple. Not exactly the most, it's an interesting sort of take on Giant Robot, but it feels like an amalgam of so many other things I've seen. Like, maybe not this exact premise, but I've seen things that look like this, sound like this, feel like this, seem like this before. That's not a knock on it. It seems totally fine. But I found myself a little like, I don't know. What did you think of it?
She's got a giant headphone jack in her back.
She does.
She does. That's how she plugs in to the robot.
Yeah.
We don't get to really see like what the enemies look like. And the main kid, his name's Echo. And he is obsessed with the robots. Get it, right? Get
show's
it.
Show's called Listeners.
Girl, Moo, because she's his muse.
Eh.
He's like obsessed with the robots. But he also is like too scared to leave his comfort zone. So that like, I guess that's supposed to be sort of the tension between the two of them. She's going to bring him out into the world and so he can fulfill his potential as a robot builder and they'll defeat the bad guys or something. It seems pretty boilerplate. It looks nice. And if you need a robot show for the season, I doubt you'll be disappointed, but it's not doing anything spectacular and new.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to seem so blasé about everything, but it was just kind of like, all right. I see what you're doing. I'm not really that big a fan of Erica Seven, and not because it's bad. It's just because it just didn't capture my heart. Like it didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
So
I liked it's got obviously a music theme to it, and I like the music so far that they've played in it. If they continue to have like good insert songs and stuff, I might also Prince maybe is in it. I don't know. There's a character in the opening or ending sequence that looks exactly like Prince. I kind of just want to see where that's going.
Yeah, really. All right. Next one is Wave Listen to Me. Tell me what that one's about.
Wave Listen to Me is about a 20-something-year-old woman. Her name is Minare, and she works at a bar. She's a waitress at a bar. She just went through a nasty breakup and got drunk and let it all out to a guy who happens to run a radio show. And then I guess this isn't illegal in Japan. He covertly recorded the whole thing and then played it on air for shits and giggles. And of course she heard it. So she goes to confront him about it. And he's like, now you've got a radio show.
And she becomes basically a ranting sort of late night radio host.
Right. Yeah.
There's Bear involved.
Yeah, they set her up with a premise where like, okay, you're gonna read these listener comments, but also pretend that you're face down with a bear the whole time, and she just runs with it.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. I thought it was it's Sunrise, good animation, and it was an interesting premise. I wasn't expecting it. I had no idea what this was about before I went into it, and was like, all right. I didn't like love it, but it was fine. Neat premise, good characters, some funny jokes. Like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, surprisingly, the manga's by the same guy who did Blade of the Immortal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just letting it all out.
Yeah.
Totally on the other side.
Yeah, I'm interested in watching it all the way through just because it's sort of a novelty in both its topic and characters. You know, it's a female-led show that's about a woman being really angry.
Yeah, which is very that's unique. So that sounds good. Like I said, it didn't blow me away or anything, but I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll keep up with that one. This is, interestingly, this is directed by his only, Tatsuma Minamikawa, who his only previous directing credit is total directing credit. Like, he's directed episodes of shit. Like, he has a long resume. But, yeah. Like, as just sole director credit, Fairy Tale Dragon's Cry, and then it's written or adapted. I think this is based on a manga. Or is it original? Oh, yeah. No, it's based on a manga. You just said, duh.
Yeah.
Shoji Onimura, who wrote a bunch, who is, like, super prolific utility player screenwriter. He's done, like, a shit ton of, like, Precure, Pokemon, and Fairy Tale. So that's probably why they're working together on this, because they work together on that. One Piece, that kind of shit. So it's kind of interesting to see something like this made by people like that, because you would normally just expect them to be working on, you know, sort of utility player shows, like all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a fascinating little production. I was pleasantly interested in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, I think there's two left. Princess Connect, Redive, which is...
I always mess this one up, because I always think it's Princess Reconnect, because that's an actual word.
Yeah.
It's not the title, anyway. So I'm always messing that up. This one was interesting.
I was okay with it. So this is like the sequel to... a mobile game, but you don't need to have played the mobile game in order to watch it. Basically, the hero from the first game wakes up with amnesia in a world full of basically harem girls. And you know what I mean by that. Like,
yeah,
it's pick your favorite, big boobs, small boobs. Which ones do you want? Like,
yeah,
it's that kind of thing.
Which character design?
But it's like surprisingly, well animated and had some pretty good jokes in it. I'm definitely not going to keep watching it,
right?
But having watched it for this, it's like, could do worse. I've definitely seen worse MOBA gay adaptations. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it was sort of a unique take to throw in the hero, and he's got amnesia, so he like can't talk and is also like incredibly stupid. He tries to eat money at one point. So that, like, they've got like little gags like that I thought were pretty funny. A reoccurring one is these really like googly-eyed wolves that keep trying to eat him. It's got some good jokes. Yeah, it looks pretty good. And that, as you said, like the ending shows that there's going to be lots of more pretty girls showing up to help him along his journey and recovering his memories or something like that. Seems pretty low stakes. Probably won't be coming back to it, but I'll read the reviews or listen to other people's opinions on it.
People do seem to like it. They seem to be taken to it pretty well. So it'll probably wind up in the poll, and we'll find out about that. Speaking of which, if you're listening to this right away after it comes out, poll will be available on I think Monday, and then we'll be able to determine our streaming schedule for the season. So final one is Sing Yesterday to Me, which you liked this more than I did. So tell me what it's about.
Sing Yesterday for Me, it's based on a manga from the 90s, and it's got a really strong 90s feel to it. I feel like in the color palette, some of the character designs, clothing design. It's mostly about a guy named Rikuo, who is a recent college graduate. Did not enter into his line of work that he was studying for and is instead working a part-time job at a convenience store. Doesn't have a girlfriend, doesn't really have any other prospects. He likes photography, but he's not pursuing it in really any kind of big way. He's not putting a lot of time into it. And he's kind of just accepted that he is a failure, but it's more like he finds comfort in his failure, because then there aren't any expectations on him, and then no one can be disappointed in him, and he can blame like external circumstances for his shortcomings. So he's kind of like a miserable coward. And there was a woman he was interested in college. Her name's Shinako, but he never confessed to her or anything. And she re-enters his life as she moves back into town for her job as a teacher. And he also starts encountering this girl named Haru, who is a high school dropout, and she hangs out with this crow and presumably doesn't have any family. And so these two women both enter back into his life, and he's wondering if he should maybe finally follow through on something and pursue a relationship with Shinako. And then in the meantime, Haru's kind of relating to him and getting him to reevaluate himself, I think.
Right. So it's based on a manga that I think came out quite a while ago.
Yeah, the manga was contemporary in the 90s, I think.
But the series composition, so the person who adapted this was Jin Tanaka, who did Laid Back Camp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think that's why it kind of comes through a little bit better. To me, it just reminded me way too much of Snafu, which is sort of depressed guy is surrounded by ladies who might be able to heal the hole in his heart. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like the lady doesn't heal you. You have to heal yourself.
Right.
Like, and I'm sure that maybe that'll ultimately wind up being where this goes. But the fact that the premise is basically that, like, oh, this, you know, sort of borderline manic pixie dream girl shows up and teaches me how to love again and love myself. It's like, okay, Garden State. Like, I just, it's not my thing. But you said you liked it a lot, so.
I did. Some of the conversations between the characters kind of resonated with me. About like lying to yourself or presenting a facade to others that you're okay for their own comfort, things like that. You know, it feels like it has some yeah. genuine things to say.
Yeah, it did feel like it had a little bit better character depth than a lot of those other things, but it still gave me those vibes, and I was like, I'll wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think that wraps that up. We got a ton of questions. Well, not a ton, but we got some questions about Space Jam.
Yeah.
So let's answer those.
Okay.
Let's see here. Petora asks, is Jordan an archetype shonen protagonist? I mean, the way yes, in Space Jam, yes. There is very little daylight between the way what happens in that movie and the way Michael Jordan is treated and something like Sword Art Online.
He inspires his teammates.
And everyone treats him like a hero. They all puff him up. Okay. Space Jam from Steve Ole, he asks, Space Jam posits that the center of the Earth and all of outer space is inhabited by cartoons. So really, shouldn't us normal humans be the biggest intergalactic circus attraction? We only exist on like one half of one world in this unit. Well... Okay, this is a YouTube video with Impact Fun on it that is like, everything wrong with Space Jam. I don't know. Shadowrun asks, do you think they could ever pull off a Space Jam sequel, or has the ship sailed? Well, they're making it.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah.
With LeBron. There's no way they're not making it. Let's see. Mild Tyler asks, how do y'all enjoy Space Jam? Purely as an irony watch, or is there some sincere enjoyment? I do... have sincere enjoyment. Like, it's irony watches are fun, but it's just such a strange thing to behold.
It has a great soundtrack,
and there's a gray area in between pure irony watching and like, yeah, okay, I am kind of watching this ironically, but I'm having fun.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's enjoyable, and I'm not just sitting here saying like, "Ah, this is terrible!" Ha ha ha! It's like, look at how weird this is.
Yeah,
if you just appreciate weirdness, it's sure. Let's see. Xenocrist asked a question that I don't think either of us can really answer right away, so I'm going to truncate this into Lindsay. Do you have a favorite Looney Tunes character?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I think my favorite Looney Tunes character is probably Taz.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
Really?
I'm not sure what I would answer with that, but what do you think mine is?
You're probably a Bugs.
Daffy Duck.
Okay, I was going to say Daffy a close second, but...
Number one, Daffy Duck. Number two, Bugs. No. But number one, Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. I liked Taz as a kid. I had, okay, so like around the time this movie came out, maybe a little bit earlier, like there was a crossover fashion thing that went on when I was in elementary school where they released like Looney Tunes
and
hip hop.
Everyone knows.
Like crossover.
Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Okay. I had an oversized Tweety Bird shirt that, you know, you're supposed to wear with like jeans or whatever, but like the thing was to wear your shirts large on purpose. So like, it went past my ass or something like that. And it had Tweety Bird with like a backwards baseball cap on or something.
Yeah. Everyone remembers the Bugs and Taz dressed as crisscross.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the classic.
Yeah.
Lauren Ramayash asks, which do you prefer, Space Jam or Looney Tunes Back in Action? Have you ever seen Looney Tunes Back in Action?
I have not.
It's It's got some high spots. It's Brendan Fraser and Jenna Elfman interacting with the Looney Tunes. There's some really good jokes in there. It has a really, really unfortunate performance. I think it's Steve Martin playing the villain, and mm-hmm. he is just going so far over the top, and it doesn't really suit him. Like, it's not cool. It's just the parts featuring Steve Martin are terrible. But
was this like released in theaters? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it came out in the early 2000s, I think.
Huh.
I saw it in theaters. It's a very strange and interesting film.
Yeah.
The live action attempts at Looney Tunes have been weird as fuck.
Yeah.
Vicomte Penrod says, which video game in anime world or anime world would you like to be trapped in and or visit? Let's go with visit so we don't say trapped in. I mean, you could just say Animal Crossing and skip the combat.
Let's just say
part.
Animal Crossing for now. I'm already living in it. It takes up a lot of my mental space, so let's just physically drop me there for a little while.
Geez, that's a tough one because you want to avoid conflict.
Right. But you don't want it too similar to this world because then what's the point?
Yeah, because then what's the point? Yeah. No, that's a tough one. I'm not sure I have an answer for that. If the stipulation is that, like, this is an isekai and I'm the main character so that I'm not going to die right away or whatever. I don't know. Since I got it on the brain, maybe Final Fantasy VII. Like, stipulation.
Post Shinra or like with Shinra still there?
Let's go post Shinra, sure. Although that's not a great place to be either. Final Fantasy X had really good color design.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's like an island.
Had like good color design. I'm gonna go with Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you can hang out with all your Disney buddies.
Oh, well, I can just sit on that island.
Yeah, that too.
And watch the sunset. And then if I want to, I can go visit Alice in Wonderland World or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like a little it's like a little theme park. You know, that's up my alley. OK, let's see. Last question from Noble Kind. If you had to remake Space Jam with only anime characters, who would you pick? So I'm going to narrow this down.
OK,
if you had to remake Space Jam and put Michael Jordan into an anime world.
OK.
Which one would it be?
I think it'd be funny if he was like trapped with the cast of Dragon Ball Z.
Oh yeah, no, perfect. That's a perfect answer.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Sword Art Online, but that's just.
I wanted to go with something where it's like, okay, there's still some wacky hijinks, but anime.
Yeah,
it's like let's stick him in Dragon Ball Z world, and he's got to compete in that like World Martial Arts tournament or something. But all he has is basketball.
Yeah, but he'd still win.
Yeah, some.
All right, buddy, that wraps it up.
All right.
Thanks for hanging out, and stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Okay, that's our show. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can find them at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us, but most importantly, take care of yourself out there. Do something that makes you happy. Do something that makes you feel relaxed. Do something that makes you feel fulfilled in as much as you can. Stay safe. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you all next week.